One of the complaints you often hear about the Buddhist teachings on karma is that they're all about past and future, whereas the real practice is in the present. The implication here being that teachings on karma are a distraction from where the real work is. But that's not the case. When the Buddha talks about being in the present, it's in the context of the teaching of karma, both in terms of the motivation, why you want to be in the present moment, and what you're looking for in the present moment. Your motivation is that there's work to be done here. And if you don't do it now, you don't know how much longer you've got to do the work. Remember the Buddhist contemplation of when you see the sunset, this may be your last sunset. Or when you see the sunrise, this may be your last sunrise. Are you ready to go? Then a large part of the mind will say no. Okay, there's work to be done. There things in the mind that will weigh you down or pull you back if you had to go. So you want to work on those. Clear them away as best you can right now. And the Padekarata Sutta talks about don't chase after the future, and don't reflect on the past, or don't chase after the past. Be aware of what's arising right now, because there's work to be done. And you don't know if you're going to be here tomorrow. So that's your motivation. Make the most of the present moment. And what you're going to find in the present moment is you're going to find karma. Both the choices you're making right now and the results of choices you made in the past, plus results of choices you're making right now. These are three things you want to look for. You have to believe in the power of your choice. If you examine the fact that you are making choices right now and you learn how to expand the range of your choices, you can be a lot more skillful. There's a passage where the Buddha said, the reason we go for sensual pleasure is because we think it's the only alternative to pain. And we keep on getting disappointed, but because we think there's no other choice, we just keep going back again and again and again. Whereas here he teaches you right concentration, the pleasure of being settled inside the sense of the body, working with the breath in the body. They give rise to a sense of ease, a sense of rapture, and spreading that sense throughout the body. You realize, okay, here's a different alternative. This is a different choice you can make. Because otherwise you're just left going back and forth between pain and pleasure, and then the emotions that go around them, the attachment to the pleasure and the dislike of the pain. Running after the pleasure, think you can get just pleasure somehow without having to get the pain come along with it. As I pointed out this afternoon, Ajahn Chah has a really nice image about that. You see a snake. And one end has teeth and the other end doesn't have teeth. So you figure, well, I'll just catch the end that doesn't have teeth and I'll be okay. Well, of course, they're connected. And snakes don't like having their tails touched. So they'll turn around and bite you. It's the same with pleasure. As soon as you grab onto the pleasure, the other end bites. So you've got an alternative choice. The Buddha says you don't have to go around catching snakes. There are better pleasures in the world. So that's one reason we listen to the Dharma, is to get an idea of what these other choices are. And then we listen further to see, okay, how do we dig down and see what choices we're making that we're not aware of? Because the big problem is that we keep making choices in the hopes that they will bring happiness, but they don't. So what's the problem? Well, there's a lot of ignorance. And ignorance is not just a big cloud or a big pit of darkness. Things are covered up in the mind. Sometimes they're covered up simply because you're not interested, and other times they're covered up because you're trying to hide them from yourself. You're making choices, and then you pretend that you didn't make them. So this is something you have to uncover. And again, this is one of the reasons why we try to work with the breath and stay with one intention right now, because other intentions will come in and they'll complain. I was talking this evening to someone who said he didn't like doing goodwill meditation. He was trying to figure out why, and he said, well, the best way to figure out why is to go ahead and do it. and see what voices in the mind complain. It's the same as when you're working with the breath. Other things will come in, and you say, oh, there's that in the mind, and there's this in the mind. Some people complain they don't like meditating because it seems that their minds are more filled with defilement than they were before. But what's happening is simply that you recognize the defilement as a defilement, whereas before it was just part of the normal background. So as you work with the breath, you get to dig things up. And the fact that you're working with the breath energy gives you an alternative to simply going back between your feelings and your thoughts. This is another narrow range that we have, believing that one side of you is dealing pure feeling, wanting this, wanting that, pure emotion. The other side is dealing with reason, pointing out what's right and what's wrong. It's this constant struggle between the two. Or again, the two of them are connected. There are thoughts behind your feelings, and there are feelings behind your thoughts. A feeling is simply a thought that's gotten more into the body. When you think that the body is telling you something, it's not. The body's not telling you something. It's simply conveying a message from one part of the mind to another. And it doesn't mean the message is necessarily true, because sometimes there are parts of the mind that are embarrassed to say out loud what they want, and so they just stir things up inside. And you think, well, this must be what I really want, because my whole body seems to be overwhelmed by this. But simply one part of the mind that can't come out into the open, and so it goes underground. It's kind of like the thing. If you learn how to deal with the breath energies in the body, learn how to breathe long, how to breathe short, heavy, light, shallow, deep, fast, slow. When you get something pleasant, let it spread through the body. You can reclaim this side of the whole equation. And the parts of the mind that try to take over the body to force you to do something, they don't have as strong a hold as they had before. So again, you're learning to see that there are choices being made, and you can undo them. It's like having lots of monsters in this big pool of water in your basement. You don't know what they are because there's so much water. Well, you have to drain the water out of the basement, and then you can see them clearly. And when you can see them clearly, they can die because they're water monsters. They hide in the murky deeps. But you can drain the murkiness out of your mind, and then you can see what's going on. And a lot of these monsters require murkiness in order to live. So you're dealing with choices. That's what karma is. This is how you can reshape your life, by making good choices. And this is also how you get out of the whole process together. It's because the fact that you have this freedom of choice in the present moment, that's one of the big mysteries of the Dharma. Why do you have this freedom? Well, as you explore it, the best way to explore it is trying to get more and more skillful in your choices, more and more aware of what the choices are, more sensitive to subtle choices. You'll find that right next to freedom of choice is a larger freedom that's outside of the present moment. That's what we're looking for. So you don't find that by running away from your choices. Another complaint about talking about karma is, I've heard many times, why are we so obsessed with skillfulness and unskillfulness of actions in the present moment, where we can just open up to the emptiness and space around us? Well, the emptiness and space around us is conditioned. It's not the goal. You go there for a while, but then you have to come back. Going there is a choice, and not always a skillful one. Whereas if you focus attention on what you're doing, the choices you're making, you get more sensitive to it, and you finally find something inside the mind that is not a choice and is not conditioned, lying right next to your freedom of choice. So this is where you're going to find it. So learn how to exercise your freedom, exercise your power of choice, as skillfully and as sensitively as you can. And you find that there's a greater freedom. How do you do that? You work on the meditation, because you're making choices right now as you stay with the breath, sensitive to how the choices of the mind affect the breath, how the breath affects the choices of the mind. Explore that. And there are a lot of good things to be learned right here. So karma is the context for the present moment. And you find that the fact that you're making choices in the present moment, that's what creates your awareness of the present moment to begin with. It makes it possible. Now the range of what you're going to experience is narrowed to some extent by your karma, by your past karma, which means that you want to create a lot of good karma to expand that range. So if you really look in the present moment, you can't escape the fact that it's all about karma. And the solution lies in getting past karma, not by denying it, but by learning how to exercise your choice as well.